Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So who'd be complaining about the Balmoral Show? Who would be less than happy with the success of it at this present moment in time? And who would be highlighting that they're not overly happy with the idea of the meat eating, the sheep shearing and the show jumping? Well, I'm not a meat eater myself, but I thoroughly enjoyed the Balmoral Show yesterday. I'm there every year and it's a heck of an event. But I want to speak to Andrew Gotti, who is from PETA. Andrew, good morning.
Hiya, Frank. Good to speak with you again. Just to clarify, I'm not actually from PETA. I have worked with them some volunteer work before, but they don't employ me. I just appreciate what they do.
Okay, you're an animal rights activist, Andrew, and you're not happy with the... I don't eat meat, and I look at the beautiful, beautiful bovines that are there, and I think to myself, you know, they're being preened today, and, you know, in the foreseeable future, they'll be on someone's plate. To me, that doesn't tally, how you can love an animal so much and then send it to the abattoir at some other date. That I understand. As for the sheep shearing and the show jumping, I'll allow you to start with the meat eating first of all, but because there'll be many people who totally understand meat eating and who see it as central to the success of this country and also to the success of our health. But tell me why you're against the meat eating, the sheep shearing and the show jumping.
From a moral point of view, it's absolutely unnecessary, I suppose, for human nutrition to eat any animal products. And in fact, it can be obesity with the saturated fat, no cholesterol in any plant products.
Oh dear, we're having a problem with your phone, Andrew. Just give your phone a wee bit of a shake there and hopefully it'll stay steady.
Yeah, okay. Try that again. I don't know if you caught it.
Yeah, it's very stop-start when I'm losing every sort of third or fourth word. But go ahead, let's give it one more rattle. Go ahead.
Sure, okay. I was just saying that it is, in fact, unnecessary for humans to consume any animal products, especially when you have supermarkets and a whole plethora of plant-based alternatives. It's unnecessary harm and violence and exploitation and keeping animals in captivity. So for that reason, I'm vegan myself. I was disappointed to hear, Frank, you haven't gone full vegan yet yourself. I know you don't eat meat.
Yeah, funny. I don't eat meat, but I do take dairy products, and I have to put my hand up and say, you know, I'm from a background where relatives have farms, and I've grown up on a farm, and I'm very familiar with farming, and I'm a big fan of ice cream and milk and cheese and all of that. So it's I do have a hesitancy when it comes to sending any animal to the abattoir, from a chicken to a cow. You know, I really do feel that I couldn't do it. I could not do it. Personally, I couldn't do it. I couldn't rear an animal and send it to an abattoir. But, you know, there'll be farming friends of mine who'd be saying, wise up, Frank, for God's sake. You know, you grew up on a farm. You know how it works. And I do know how it works, but maybe I'm a big softie.
Well, look, there is the issue, of course, with, you know, the end of an animal's life. But I mean, the farming process of, say, a cow, as you do know, is that they get artificially, or I suppose you could say forcefully impregnated, jacking off a bull to obtain its semen, and then, like, sticking their hand in the anus of a cow to hold the cervix in place. So, like, restraining them, forcing them to get pregnant so that they produce milk, take the baby away, take all the milk, separate the calf from the mother. They mourn for up to a number of weeks, and, you know, they're maternal creatures like ourselves. there's a huge amount of mental and physical pain involved in all of that. And when, after their fifth birth, their bodies are spent and not producing as much milk, they all got sent to the slaughterhouse. So any time that you support dairy, you're also supporting the slaughter of those cows. It's just important to know that not many people even know that cows need to get pregnant first to even produce that milk. They seem to think that cows just naturally produce milk, but then they're artificially or like selectively bred to produce more milk, and their udders are more cumbersome than they should be, much larger, which is hard on their bodies. So many farm animals are bred into bodies that work against them, which is why selective breeding for the purpose of exploitation is quite a cruel thing to do to any animal. We certainly wouldn't do it to our dogs and cats, and the ones that do suffer health problems, like pugs, you know, we all recognize that they've been bred just for cuteness or for humans' entertainment, and that works against them. It's not fair.
In fairness, I have seen artificial insemination being carried out in a byre, and it's not something that the cow really objects to. It's a quite a quick procedure. The gentleman, or sometimes a lady with a very long glove, delivering the semen. So it isn't something that brings any hurt or rejection from the female bovine.
But have you heard them crying after their calves are taken away from them?
I am familiar with that, and I have seen calves being taken from cows and put onto, as they say, put onto the bucket, whereby the calf will be taken quite quickly after it's born, put in a separate unit and fed by buckets of milk from its mother. And the cow does not seem very pleased with that. I agree with you on that one. But there are many farmers who have the calf on the udder out in the field for months after birth.
Yeah, I mean, they are put in fields, and that's why everyone thinks, like, oh, what a beautiful image farming is. You see these cows seemingly unmolested, but you don't see all the procedures. I mean, they certainly don't advertise that, you know, when they're trying to sell you the products. You don't see all of the difficult things that the animals go through. And as you know, with pigs, you never see pigs. They're locked away inside. They hardly ever get to see sunlight or never get to, like, exhibit their natural behaviours, like digging their nose into the ground. They don't even get to be on grass. There's an absolutely tiny percentage of pigs who ever get to experience any sense of normality. And, you know, they can be locked in cages for up to, like, 4 months a year, a farrowing crate where they can't even turn around. So there's lots that goes on that is not shown in the Balmoral show. This is just, you know, for show and to convince everybody that what goes on is perfectly acceptable.
I don't know about your percentages in relation to the pigs, how many of them get out into the old mud and out into the grass. I genuinely don't know, but I do agree with you that I have an immense sympathy for the life of the pig, because the pig is a very clever and also a very loving animal. I've interacted with pigs before, and again, you know, when you think of the pork and the ham and all of that that people eat regularly, they don't give any consideration to, or minimal consideration to, what the pig may have been through during its lifetime. It's a step down even from the sheep. The sheep seem to have a better life than the pigs.
Yeah, certainly pigs are one of the top five most intelligent animals on earth, and we treat them with absolute disdain, I would say. You know, the welfare standards are horrible if you actually know what they are. I mean, first of all, they get gassed to death. I mentioned that to you before. With CO2, which is known to be an aversive gas. It burns their lungs and their eyes, and they thrash around in panic, thinking that they're being suffocated, which they are. It's the cheapest way to kill them. It's not the most humane. So, like, from the start to the end, like, any runt, any piglet who's not going to be as big, it's actually legal by the RSPCA, have approved the method of killing of runt piglets by swinging them by their hind legs and smashing their head off a wall or off the ground. So blunt force trauma is acceptable. And we trust the RSPCA as some sort of ruling authority on animal welfare, but, like, the standards in farming are just sick and brutal, you know.
Yeah, I presume the RSPCA don't recommend that form of execution of a piglet, but they accept it in terms of, well, they have to be disposed of, so there has to be the most humane way to do it.
Yeah, but smashing someone's head off the ground doesn't sound very humane. We would never accept that for our companion animals. I mean, you're not even allowed to give, like, a painless lethal injection to a farm animal, because that would contaminate the meat for human consumption. And that's exactly what we would do as the best practice for our dogs, cats, and horses. We don't send them to their death in the slaughterhouse, you know? I mean, what really gets me is that, you know, I went vegan 8 years ago. I ate meat and dairy and all the rest myself. And then, say, I watched that documentary, Earthlings, with Joaquin Phoenix, the actor, and Moby, the musician, did the score. I just was very confronted by what I saw because, you know, you're never shown that, unless you're raised in farming, what exactly happens to animals. And it really was quite upsetting. You know?
Yeah, I can understand the upset for so many people if they did see what happened inside an abattoir. I should emphasise, don't have anyone from the RSPCA here at this present moment in time just to explain their policy on the blunt trauma. Would like to invite them on just for clarity on that. What about the issue around the sheep shearing and the show jumping? You've been very clear, obviously, on the abattoir aspect of disposing of animals. I think a lot of people, when they stop to think about it, are concerned. Many others just will ignore it, but there will be those who are concerned. And the vast majority of people don't want to think about what goes on inside an abattoir. Why do you object to the sheep shearing and the show jumping?
Well, again, I mean, you don't need any animal products. We have plenty of alternatives for foods, clothing, you know, even medicines that we shouldn't be testing on animals. Vivisection is an old, outdated way of using animals. So, yeah, sheep shearing, like the shearers are paid by the hour. They're not paid, you know, per sheep. So it kind of incentivizes them to go fast, especially, you know, that Balmoral show is exactly that, you know, the fast sheep shearing competition. Like, they're prey animals, you know, when they feel like they're having someone's knee on their neck or head.
But are they paid by the hour or paid by the sheep? Because surely if they're paid by the hour, they could do it slowly, whereas if they're paid by the sheep, they'd do it much quicker.
But that's according to the article that Peter released, the one that your colleague sent on to me this morning. I actually hadn't read it until this morning, but yeah, that's the suggestion that in the UK they're paid by the hour. And I know that's the same in many aspects of farming. Like in the slaughterhouse, certainly the workers are paid by the hour. So any welfare infraction will slow up the process. And so workers are not incentivized to, you know, make sure that the animals are actually getting their due care.
Well, there would be a debate around the sheep shearing, because whether or not it is more acceptable to shear them rapidly or to shear them slowly. But you don't like the idea, the concept of the sheep shearing. And the show jumping, because I watched it yesterday. It was the one thing that I had a bird's eye view of because of where we were positioned. Those beautiful horses seemed to be so well looked after and thoroughly enjoyed what they were doing.
Well, I'm glad. I assume none of them fell and broke their legs or broke their neck like they did in the Grand National that was protested by Animal Rising for that very reason. They're trying to suggest that why is it that we have to only enjoy animals by utilizing them in some way, either to make profit for betting on them or indeed farming them. You know,
but is there not a vast difference between the Grand National and show jumping?
Yeah, you know, that's true. But like, no horse naturally has any of its geldings on its back. That's something that we have subdued them to do. Like, there is the process of breaking a horse's spirit in order to allow a human to jump on their back. There's lots of whipping and coercion that goes on before they'll comply to that. And maybe selective breeding to choose for, like, you know, more docile type animals. No doubting that people love their horses, but I don't think they should be their horses. I'd like to see more wild horses and to give them the space to actually live freely as they should be. Now, we've taken away all that space by using it all up for animal agricultural land, which uses the vast majority of land, free land on earth. And very little is given over to plant farming, and certainly no government subsidies by comparison. It's absolutely minuscule to the amount of taxpayers' money that goes into a cruel industry exploiting animals. So there's a big problem with that.
And just finally, the PETA people and animal rights activists think it shouldn't be the Balmoral Show, it should be the Balmoral Grow, and the whole idea of having a vegan event is something we should be aiming for. Do you see a vegan future on this planet? Obviously, you're not going to see it in 10 years, but we thought 20 years ago that vegans wouldn't have a voice at all, and now they are in every family, literally in every family. Do you see the vegan future within the next 50 years?
Well, we already have laws in place to protect certain animals, you know, from harm, unnecessary harm. Like, you can get jail and fines if you, like, kick a cat, as Kurt Zuma found out But like, if we just want to be consistent and not hypocritical, we should be applying the same level of basic care to all sentient beings. And we recognize that all animals are equally sentient. And like you said, pigs are extremely intelligent. So there's absolutely no justification for doing that to them. We don't need to eat animal products. In fact, it'll help to lessen everyone's cholesterol to zero. Your body produces its own cholesterol. So from a health perspective, an ethical perspective, and if we want to take the climate emergency seriously, which, you know, the UK government and the Irish government have declared a state of climate emergency, they've done nothing to reduce the devastating impact that animal agriculture has on the planet. So, yeah, I mean, if we want to be rational people and concerned about our children's future and the environmental destruction of our shared environment, then, of course, we should all be going and transitioning to a plant-based future.
Okay. Really good talking to you, Andrew. It's another perspective from what we were hearing yesterday. You make an interesting point about kicking a cat. You would be fined for doing that. You'd actually be fined for kicking a cow or kicking a pig. If you went down the road and started to kick them, you could be arrested and fined, but you're allowed to kill them. It's a bizarre contradiction. It is a bizarre contradiction. Andrew, thank you. Thank you indeed. Andrew Gotti, who is an animal rights activist. Interesting. In your opinions on this, do let us know, considering we've been so positive about the whole idea, the whole concept of an agricultural show. We've been broadcasting live from it. We're broadcasting live from it again later today. But are these voices that are rarely heard? Do let us know. 0289033105. Fionnuala Meredith is patiently waiting. Good morning, Fionnuala. All good with you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. I'm just wondering where you stand on all of this. We've had Andrew, the animal rights activist, on, and I have to emphasise that I was at the Balmoral show yesterday. I saw hundreds of farmers who love and care for their animals. They live for ensuring that their animals are properly cared for. Were you at the show?
No, do you know, I actually haven't been at the Balmoral show since I was a little girl, and that's quite a long time ago.
And is that because you're not a farmer, or are you not into it? Where do you stand on all of this? Because I know you've written the article, but I'm wondering, are you writing the article as a reporter or as an activist?
No, neither. I wrote the article as an opinion column, you know, just more generally on the idea of veganism versus, you know, mainstream farming. That was kind of the approach I was looking at. And I was just thinking, your previous guest, Andrew, I actually agreed with a heck of a lot of what he was saying, particularly about the intensive farming of pigs. It's appalling to my mind the way pigs are treated. As you said yourself, they're very sensitive, intelligent creatures, and to have them all sort of rammed in together and restrained, it's just, I find it repugnant. I couldn't eat pork that came from pigs that were treated like that, but I do eat meat. And I do eat pork, but it comes from a rare breed farm down near Downpatrick, where the pigs have a very happy life indeed. I've spent time with them many times, and they do all their natural things, you know, rooting in the ground, getting bugs, and wallowing in mud, and generally having a high old time.
Yeah, now, I know vegans, they've great crack. They've great crack up until a guy comes with a long trailer, and they're thinking, well, why are we going into this trailer? And then they end up in Market Hill or Hilltown or wherever, and a lot of people here and a lot more pigs. And then eventually they go to a centre whereby there's a lot of squealing going on. Have you ever heard an abattoir? Have you ever heard the inside of an abattoir, squealing?
To be honest, I don't want to. I mean, it does sound horrendous. I can't deny that. But, you know, we're not living in a world of moral absolutes. If we want to eat meat, then to my mind, or for me anyway, I'm not going to try and tell other people what to do. For me, the best thing to do is try to eat meat. The animals have had a good life, a really good life, a natural life, and a long life compared to the way that, you know, in mainstream farming, animals are killed much more quickly. So for me, that's the right moral compromise.
And some of those pigs, of course, are butchered on the actual farm where they've grown up. Well, and there'd be many who would argue some are, and some see that as more humane.
I think there's, you need to find an expert in this, but I think there's a rule whereby they have to be taken to the abattoir to be killed, but I, you know, wouldn't be the person to ask about that.
Sure.
All I'm saying is that to my mind, it's a more ethical way of eating meat. And the other thing is, far tastier. You know, and sometimes I look at those little pigs if I go to visit the farm and think, goodness, I'm going to eat them. And I do feel a bit of a pang of guilt. But then I also think, delicious bacon. So. That's where we are.
I know, but to me, as someone who isn't a meat eater, but yet comes from a farming background,
Are you vegetarian?
Well, you know, I'm not a meat eater. I have to put my hand up and say occasionally I eat fish, you know, and people go, oh, well, what about the poor wee fish? You know,
pescatarian?
Yeah, there's just something about the pig, the sheep. I stand and look at them in the field. I stand and look at them in fields belonging to members of our family, and I admire them. And then, you know, you look out someday and they're not in the field, and you know where they've gone. You know where they are. They're away to Hilltown or Market Hill. And I personally couldn't bring the animal to that level, at a personal level. I couldn't bring the animal to be put on the trailer. I would feel an attachment to it. But then I'd be no good as a blimmin' farmer, because that's what farmers are for. They're custodians of the countryside. They're to provide meat for a healthy diet for us as human beings. And they do it very, very well. But there is no getting away from the final chapter, which is the execution of the owl animal.
There's no getting away from that. But like I say, there's a focus for me is what kind of life did the animal have? I'm going to eat meat. I want to eat meat from an animal that's had a good long life. That's been really well treated. It's had the social, like pigs are so social, you know, they've had that whole dimension of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And also just with the rare breeds, those would die out if we didn't eat them. You know, you can't just get them for like an ornamental farm. We wouldn't have rare breed pigs if a proportion of them weren't actually eaten.
Yeah, and I'm almost on top of the news. I'm not even going to be able to take the point, but just on the slaughtering on your farm or property, if it's going to be eaten by you or your family, you have to adhere to the legal standards of home livestock slaughter, but it can be done, but it has to be done within rules and regulations. I'm on top of the news, Fionnuala. It's always a pleasure, girl. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Fionnuala Meredith with us here. She's writing in the Belfast Telegraph. If you want to read what she said.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.